get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to The Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio is one of Australia's favourite football hosts. I've had a call this week from a listener in Sydney. Con, welcome to you. Is Lucy going to be on the show this week? And here she is, Lucy Zelich. How are you, Lucy?
Was there a request for me, was there?
That's right, they wanted to know.
Is that right? Yeah. Seriously?
That's fantastic. I feel almost famous. That's brilliant.
You are famous, Lucy. More famous than that other fella, Ned.
Good, I like that.
And, of course, with alongside Lucy, as ever, is the Near Post's only and favourite Frenchman, Patrick Bourdier.
Now, just while we're on the topic of requests, I just want to say to my partner, Amy, if you could just maybe create another email address and send in a request for me on the show, that would be appreciated.
Are you feeling a bit unloved at the moment
Ames,
now,
while
are
you're
you?
At home, get on the computer. Create some demand for me, please.
Paddy, she actually...
Where's the love?
She actually did, but I just... Okay, we're going to talk Socceroos, A-League, World Cup, W League. It's all happening. It's all here. You can email me at flanagan.eamon@gmail.com or catch the podcast on iTunes or on the blog www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And we dedicate the show every week. This week we're going to dedicate it to a young man of who is David Beckham is taking the English bid as the ambassador for the World Cup. We've sent 8 school children from Australia, which is an interesting touch. And one of those young men is Kai Thornton. Kai Thornton is 11 years of age, won a competition to write 300 words about why the World Cup should come to Australia. He has flown out with the other 7 this yesterday to South Africa to put the case for Australia and the bid to the FIFA and Sepp Blatter and his mates. So just before the World Cup draw. He was also in the Canberra Times. We come across from Canberra. This show is produced. And in the Canberra Times this week, they had a big photo of Kai and also a bit of a story. And they're a big football family. Gail McNamara, his mother, has travelled with Kai, much to the perhaps the annoyance of his dad, local legend, Jason Thornton. But anyway, Gail has gone, so they're both headed over there. And his other brother, Shay, is a tremendous footballer as well. So it's all there. But when they asked Kai the question, how did you feel about it? He said, quote from the Canberra Times, he felt quite wonderful about winning the competition, and he'd never been a fan of rugby, and if Australia is chosen to host the Soccer World Cup finals, he hopes the game will grow in popularity. And he also added, he appreciates soccer because it's a bit more clever and players have to use their head. So to all our rugby league fans and union fans out there, the future is round. Okay.
The future is grim, according to Kai Thornton.
It is good on you, Kai.
Nice work, Kai. And, you know, one-on-one with David Beckham, and if it's an intellectual challenge, well, you know, I might be putting my money
on
Kai.
He's probably got a good chance.
Well, apparently David Beckham never read any books, and he's probably never written anything, so Kai's ahead of him there.
Yeah.
Good on you, Kai. That's a great show dedication. Good luck to him as well.
Okay, we've got a quiz question, of course, as always, and this week it is the World Cup draws on this week, but also the Asian Champions League draw is on December the 7th, which I think is Sunday. Melbourne and bottom place Adelaide of the A-League will know their fate. Now, Churchill Brothers FC are in this year's ACL. So, after this little promo, which country do Churchill Brothers FC come from?
Hey, mate, did you hear that the Socceroos are going to the World Cup?
Really? How did you find that out?
Oh, heard it on the Near Post, mate. Listen in for all your Aussie football news on the Near Post, 6:30 Tuesday, 98.3 FM, 2XX.
And also on the Australian Community Radio Network, you can hear the Near Post every week, of course. So, Churchill Brothers, a great name for a football club, I guess. And they're in the Asian Champions League. Lucy, which country?
India.
Oh!
You see, Aidan, what you failed to realise is that we are football nerds.
Yeah, and you thought that I was going to go, I don't know about that one. That's a real noodle scratcher.
Smack that one back.
Well, you've been on the show for about 5 years, and every other week you go, I don't know that.
I think it's all about crowing when you get the glory, really talking it up.
Okay, we'll talk news now. We've got a new format this week. Let's see how it works. Okay. Mohammed bin Hamman, the president of AFC, has announced a new TV deal, and this is what he said. From 1992 to 2008, our total revenue for rights was $150 million for everything. Now we're talking about 8 years with $1 billion in the coffers.
Huge.
Absolutely huge. Everton captain Tim Cahill says his club are too good to go down. They lost to Lucy's Liverpool 2-0 on the weekend.
And what a game. I did watch that one.
Brett Hellman scores again in Dutch Eredivisie, a good goal too. And you can catch it on YouTube as AZ Alkmaar win 2-0. Scott McDonald takes the world's greatest club back to the top of the Scottish two-team league as Celtic thumped St Mirren 3-1. Scott scored two and missed a penalty. Milly Jednak did score against his old club. That unpronounceable Turkish name, Glenn Bridge.
Yeah, that one's
Thank
a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah. So Milo Jednak pushing his place hard for a World Cup place. Harry Kewell has scored 11 goals in 21 games this season in Turkey, and is considering a move to Spain, and is also reported to be thinking of finishing his career, not in the A-League, but in the MLS.
Mm. No surprise there whatsoever.
No, thanks. Sorry
to say that.
Now, Harry, you wouldn't have thought he would go to Oman or,
Saudi Arabia? There in the way of I'm not surprised he's not going to finish up in the A-League.
I didn't fall off my chair on that one.
Yeah, no, not at all.
News this morning, Mark Viduka is back in Melbourne looking for a house, settling his kids into school and maybe thinking about playing next year.
So will that be with the Heart or with Victory?
Well, according to the Sun in England, it's the Melbourne Fire.
The Melbourne Fire? The lesser known Melbourne Fire.
But the Sun always get their stories right. Manny Muscat, the Phoenix Thumper, is banned for 3 weeks. Nath Fabiano, gone back from Melbourne Victory back to Bangkok. As of today.
Interesting one. Yeah.
And Joel Griffiths expected to come back and play for the Jets. And wouldn't that strengthen the Jets' running chances? Maybe. And in the W League, Sydney and the Central Coast to fight it out on ABC TV for the Minor Premiership, if that's what it's called. And Canberra and Melbourne Victory will fight for the fourth place, with the last round coming up this weekend before the finals. And Halftime Heroes is out, so go to halftimeheroes.com for all the latest in the football bloggers world. And of course, you can hear Russ Gibbs, Merrin Sherwood, and our own Lucy Zelich call the 2XX Canberra call and stream of the Canberra United final game, crucial game, on 2XXFM.org.au this weekend.
A kick-off at 5 o'clock, and it'll be the first game that they actually play at Deakin Stadium as well. So all you local Canberra supporters, get out there and do our girls some good, because they really need to win this one.
And if you're from across the country, listening to Lucy on the call.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to talk the World Cup draw. Australia obviously head off to the draw's on Friday, 3:45 in the morning on Saturday our time. Who do you want? Do you want anybody?
We've had a few discussions about this, haven't we? Yeah. I know that definitely one of them was New Zealand, wasn't it?
We'd like New Zealand.
We do want New Zealand, but I don't think we're going to get... I think they're in the same group.
They're in the same pot as us, so we can't possibly get them.
Out of the top pot, you're going to have teams like South Africa, the hosts. We'll be in with England, Brazil... Italy, Germany, those sorts of teams. So South Africa would be the weakest out of that group for us.
Yes, I don't think we want the weakest. We want England, don't we?
We do. I think England would create the most interest in the country, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And not only that, I think, especially for me as an Australian football fan, I'd like to see them take on Italy and really, really give it to them this time around.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst matchup. I'd be very happy with that.
Exactly. So that was one of my teams that when I saw the list and said, you know, who do we really want to be in our pot? I thought, yeah, I definitely want to be playing Italy. I would love to be.
France have a history of shooting themselves in the foot in the first round of World Cup.
They do, don't they? They always seem to do quite dismally. Yeah.
Yeah.
France.
Especially if they have Dominic.
And the controversy surrounding them.
And we're going to be the 33rd team in the World Cup. And don't you forget it. And we'll be the 34th and the 35th of France. Yeah, bloody cheats. Can I just say that?
You can be wrong, but you can get out that bad blood.
Yeah, I got a text from Eamon actually saying that he should be banned. The blasted cheats, he should be banned from all stadiums.
And I was just talking about Paddy. I wasn't even talking about Thierry Henry.
He should be booed at all European stadiums. And I tend to agree with that actually. Yeah. So, very much so.
Are we talking about
the whole player that scored with a handball just on the weekend? Well, we just don't mention that.
It's much the same sort of thing.
Which player?
There's a whole player, a whole striker in the EPL who handballed the ball down and then volleyed it in the goal.
Did he do it twice or just once?
Barely got a ripple.
Did he do it twice or just once?
Just a couple of times.
Just a couple of times.
He didn't quite dribble it basketball style through, but he definitely not.
Well, you're not allowed to handle it, double handle it in basketball, are you? Only in soccer.
Let's move on. We don't want to spend a whole half hour with complaints about how they don't have 33 teams in the World Cup.
I just want to see him walk out with that World Cup FIFA Fair Play.
FIFA Fair Play, that banner.
And here comes Thierry. Anyway, yeah.
It's Thierry marching down holding the cup. Yeah.
I am sure that he is very sad and sorry.
He'll be more sad and sorry if he gets banned.
Exactly.
Anyway, we don't want to encourage that sort of thing, although, you know, obviously crime does pay.
Crime.
Sorry, stop it. Stop it.
Crime is a little bit...
Oh, it's not a crime.
Anyway, focusing on pot two is pretty much the UEFA teams.
Yeah, France, Portugal, Greece, all those sorts of people.
There were
Slovenia.
I'm not going to say easy beats, but some teams that I think could be better to take on.
Could give us a challenge, but also I think that a challenge that we could overcome as
Slovenia,
well.
I wouldn't mind playing
them. Wouldn't mind Slovenia as well. That would be a good lineup too.
Denmark, Greece, and Switzerland and France. I'd take any of those.
I agree
France,
with that.
Yeah, they're barely, despite your comments last week, Paddy, they barely beat the Irish. We got a group of players from Stoke City, for God's sake. You got Thierry Henry and the like. So you barely could beat us.
If Dominic is still the manager of France, I really can't see France doing anything special in this World Cup.
In fact,
really? So you think they need to get rid of him?
Yeah. My fear, because my team is Bordeaux, my fear is that Laurent Blanc will be taken up as manager of France and Bordeaux will lose him.
Yeah.
And then France will be a very good team.
My fear is Roy Keane will come back and take over Ireland.
At the rate he's going, he's not going to be welcome back in Ireland.
Yeah,
he's
do
about
we see
as
that
welcome
happening
as Jeremy Henry.
No, we don't. Roy will not be coming back. He's got enough problems down at the bottom of the table at Ipswich. But anyway.
He's good for a soundbite.
Yeah,
he is good for a soundbite.
And entertainment, there you go. Not a complete loss to the world.
No. Of course, we could also draw... we can't draw an Asian team because obviously we are Asian. We can draw an African team, Algeria, Cameroon, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Nigeria.
I'd be quite scared with any of those in their home continent. Maybe one of the Central American teams.
Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay.
South American, yeah.
We'd take them. Uruguay would be nice, wouldn't it?
I actually thought about that one. That was one of the things that I first thought of, too, alongside Italy. I was like, Uruguay would be a good one to have in our group.
Rakoba's not playing anymore, is he?
No. So I thought that would be a really handy one to have on our side.
Yeah. So we're going to go for Uruguay, Italy then, and probably France.
Or England.
Italy and France in the same group.
I don't think so. Are France in the top group?
Yes, because it's not just based on their rating at the moment, their FIFA rating, but it's also their performance over the last couple of World Cups.
It's not based on the fact that you can't beat Ireland. It's based on the fact that you actually won a World Cup. Okay, fair enough.
Let it go, my friend. Let it go.
Never, Paddy, for a long time.
God knows the French have let it go.
We've got a lot of memories in Ireland, don't you know that?
And the French have very short ones.
Yes, apparently. Thierry did run off straight away as soon as he celebrated. Now that you mention it, Lucy.
He did.
We're going to talk A-League. Central Coast Mariners drew with Perth Glory. Nil-nil it was.
It was a bit of a sneeze fest. Very big yawn there. Yeah.
Let's look at the result. This is the important thing. Yeah. Perth Glory away managed not to lose. Mm. And for that, I'm very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They played Stojoski on the left, which seemed very strange to me.
I was also surprised by that formation. I didn't understand why they'd placed him
there
either.
But there was some really good work by Jamie Coyne and Pellegrino on the right.
They worked
really good
well.
Interchanges, some good crosses, some of them awful crosses. But
you don't go out on Friday night.
I like to stay home.
A young one like you, Paddy, staying home to watch the Central Coast.
You mock, and yet I know that you're all like me.
Yeah. Okay. Melbourne Victory 4, Gold Coast 0. What do you think of all that?
Well, nobody's surprised by that, are we? I mean, I'm not, without a doubt.
I want to see, by the end of the season, North Queensland Fury ahead of the Gold Coast.
Well,
I think there's a chance of it happening.
There is a strong chance. What I was interested in was Stephen Lustiger. Obviously, Bernie's been on the show. Stephen Lustiger, Canberra boy.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see he started centre midfield for the Gold Coast.
But what's
that all about from a Miriam Blyberg point of view? And Paul Ocon. Yeah. There's Paul Ocon, former Lazio centre midfielder. Mm. And he says, well, put Lustiger centre midfield. First full game at the Dome with Hernandez, Thompson and Muscat straight down the middle. And we've got a soccer who's international centre midfielder, and we put him up on the right wing.
Yeah, it was very, very strange.
Yeah.
And I think the central defence was suffering a bit. I think they had a new guy backing up with Thwaite as well. And it just seems strange to have an inexperienced guy right in the middle when they could have had, because Kalina was available, why not put him in the middle?
And why play three attackers? I know we want an attacking football, but they've always played 5-2-3.
Yeah, they've played that formation before.
But with Stephen Lustiger as a young lad on his first debut, what are you expecting really from a lad like that? And then Zen and Caravella, are they going to hold a midfield when you've got Kalina and Smeltz? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, look, you're putting that up against six very experienced players now. Yeah. Whether or not he decided to throw in some creativity and maybe, you know, create some magic, I don't understand. Yeah. But, you know, with that said, you know, when you're looking at young players like that making a debut for a full 90 minutes, I mean, that's not the best way to go.
That's
it's not the smartest option. Yeah. No. So, you know, they're the kind of players that you introduce at perhaps, you know, injury time, you know, to give them a bit of a run on the park.
Or if you're really desperate to get the player in there and you know, they... I know the Gold Coast had a few players out. Why not play Lustiger out on the right and Kalina in the middle?
Or Kalina, bring Kalina into the midfield.
Because that's what you need, and that's why they had a breakdown in their central defence, because if you don't have a strong midfield there that can create that cohesion between the attacking and the defence line, then you've got a problem. So
what about Dersin Kalina? I mean, he's back. He's got the captain's armband on. He's playing wide on the right.
But is he back? I mean, we've had talks about Jason Kalina a lot, whether or not he's starting to lose his form because of his introduction to the A-League, or whether or it's because he's just, you know, having a bad run. So
he's playing in a position that, I mean, he never played. He finished off with PSV as a fullback. Yeah. Played centre midfield, defensive centre midfield. I mean, when was the last time you saw him create a goal or score a goal for the Socceroos? I mean, he doesn't get...
Oh, for the Socceroos, I can't,
So here he is
He's been a ghost on the field for the Socceroos.
He plays a certain role, doesn't he, in the defence. And here he is playing on the right wing. And you think, well, what's... I just don't get it.
What's the purpose behind it? What are
and
the motivations?
And what's he watching when his team's losing 2-3-0? What's he watching and thinking, this is the best I can contribute at Melbourne in front of all those fans, the best contribution I can give? Is to stand out there wide on the wing.
I thought it was a big risk that we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
Jason refuses to play anywhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, refuses to play anywhere else?
Well, then who have we got here? Yeah. What's the relationship between coach and player? Is the coach there to give the orders or are the players? You know, that's something that also needs to be sorted out.
It seems odd. Yep. Anyway, Jason Kalina, we're watching
you
closely.
It is odd. Kalina, if you could call in at some point and explain your position.
We'd like you to. We
want
to know what you're doing and why.
Yeah. And what you're not doing.
More importantly.
So anyway, let's talk about Melbourne Victory. I love the fact that Robbie Cruise is back. Mm-hmm. I love the fact they've got rid of Ney Fabiana for a young Australian.
Young Australian.
They feel clearly capable that Archie, without Danny Alsop, but with Robbie Cruise, is going to be good enough to take them through to the title.
They're a good combination. Yep. I agree. And again, Paddy and I discussed this on previous shows. We've always agreed on, if anything, that Melbourne, this is the time when they kick into
their
gear.
Run to the finals.
Yes, and they put on such a show, and they can't be beat. So I think it's a great combination. It's great to see Robbie Cruise doing well and come back from, you know, a bit of a football hiatus or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good to see them. And like, I agree with you there, Eamon. I think they're a good combo.
Although I think there's no other team. I mean, if Central Coast Mariners were down there is no way the Victory would look so
sharp?
No, would they? Mm. I mean, the Gold Coast helped
Gold Coast
them.
But still, they did,
and it was good. It was great to watch, and great crowd with the atmosphere, with the the crowd stadium brought in.
You can always count on that down at Melbourne, though. Very, very passionate fans.
I think that's a big part of the reason why Melbourne Fire got their licence recently.
Melbourne Fire, thanks to the Sun.
Voted for by your Sun readers in England. A-League goes to England. North Queensland Fury, Adelaide United, Queensland Fury 2-1. Paddy, I know you're excited about this.
North Queensland, didn't they? They put a game, well, certainly first half. Let's go. They put a half of football together.
We'll give them that, just the half.
It was good
That's
movement.
Good enough.
Robbie Fowler was in the heart of most of it. He was passing balls through. His passes are exceptional. And I just want to say that maybe... The pains that they have suffered are going to do them well. They've managed to get rid of a couple of players. They've brought in two good players. One of them is Terry Cook, who was a youngster in Man U, been a bit of a journeyman, but his set pieces...
I was a youngster at Notts County. Does that count? I was.
I don't doubt
We've
it.
We've got a Notts County alumni here.
Really?
Yeah.
Notts County?
Yeah, it's called... Well, it was a trial. That counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, that counts.
That's fantastic,
I was offered a week at Ipswich, but it was too far to travel.
Yeah. So you decided to still pay your homage to Notts County and remain a young, loyal lad.
Anyway, sorry, we digress.
Anyway, so... Perhaps Terry Cook should be looking to pick you up in the next transfer
window. Well, the way the game for Terry Cook is about about 47, isn't it? Yeah. I've probably got a chance.
If your set pieces are anywhere as good as his,
I'm very good in the heat.
Oh, we like that. But yeah, continue on, Paddy. So there were two key signings.
And Matt Smith, a defender who played for Brisbane Strikers. Mm-hmm. But what I think with Terry Cook is Fowler used to take those set pieces. So that now allows the fox in the box. He's not as fat as we thought he was, to now be in the box for the ball dropping down and spilling loose from
and
those set pieces.
And being able to finish it and create opportunities to score goals as well.
McBreen, doing well.
My Lord, what a nice volley. Good way to break your drought of goals.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Well done, very happy.
You talked about North Queensland having one half of football. Yeah. Well, I think Sydney, when they played Melbourne a few weeks ago, had about 5 minutes of football. And people have been living off that. Sydney have been living off that forever. Yeah. Sydney, the exciting Sydney FC at home again with their fantastic home record. Right. Yeah. Thumped by the Jets. I mean, that's a thrashing, isn't it? 3-1 when it's really 3-0.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it is a thrashing.
Absolutely. What about the Jets? Don't they look like a team?
Yep.
But see, again, I've had this discussion about the Jets. They're one of those teams that either play really well for one game and then they're absolutely dismal the next game. They are up and down. There's no consistency. So I never get excited when I see them doing well because I know that the following week they're just going to crumble.
Well, let me put this to you.
Put it to us.
I will. Soon they will have Vignaroli because Vignaroli was not in that lineup, and they will have Joel Griffin.
Yeah.
That is two key players to be added to a very, very good performance.
Mm. Michael Bridges is making a big difference. He seems to be a much better player than when he was with Sydney.
A lot fresher. It seems like a completely different player to me. I almost didn't recognise him. I thought, well, who is that?
It's sort of like Aloisi. He was good when he was at the Mariners. But
anybody who gets time in the sun, ouch. <You know.
laughs> Yes, we won't go there.
I think maybe there's more permanency to this move. Mm. Whereas before he was brought in on a short term.
Sort of and just on Branko Kalina. You know, obviously he got fined $3,000 for saying that all teams in the A-League are shit.
Yes.
Perhaps if he'd have just
incisive
said...
Incisive comment, if I ever heard one.
But if he'd have just said Sydney is shit, he wouldn't have got fined.
Everybody would agree. Branko,
The FFA would have said, you're right, Branko. Yeah.
There's not much we can go on there.
No.
Branko's been in a bit of trouble for flapping his trap quite a few times. You know, he came out and he had criticisms of certain coaches and, you know, then had to come out and bite his tongue and apologise and eat his words. So I really think he needs to calm down and kind of just focus on what he's got and deal with it.
I don't think so. I want more comments.
You want more comments?
More of that stuff. That is great stuff.
I think Miriam Blyberg is doing enough for the idiocy generator. So
Where is Lubo?
Where is Lubo? I just want to say, I just declare this on air. I'm an ABC watcher. And,
that's okay, man. Yeah. It's going to be all right.
We accept that apology.
There's two stories on the ABC a week or so ago. Vidmar's story about the Saudi Arabians and cutting off their heads, that sort of thing. And then 3 days after that, there was a couple of A-League games on, and then the FFA announced that Vidmar was getting fined. Mm. There was another story on the ABC News about Vidmar getting fined. No mention of the A-League games. So whilst I agree, Lucy, we don't necessarily want the comment, those comments make headlines. It's an interesting, given that we're struggling for the games don't get mentioned, it's only the Vidmar and the Branko comments that get mentioned. And you think,
you think if we didn't have those comments and that possibly the games would get mentioned? I actually think that all this back and forth kind of schoolyard stuff is taking away from what we need to focus on at hand, on the football, exactly.
No, I don't think so at all. I think if they have a certain amount of comments and a certain amount of news stories about those comments, then that's going to generate interest and then maybe people will want to
hear agree about with Lucy, football or the editors.
Of course you agree with Lucy. Lucy's the one that gets all the nice emails asking her to
be
on the show.
So I think Lucy's on the money here, and Branko should shut up. Brisbane Roar 4, Wellington 1. Manny Muscat did the old elbow in the face and got 3 weeks for that. And I'm delighted to see that because I'm sick of players.
Delighted to see the elbow.
I'm delighted to see players who, stop players through foul means. And
For a second there, I wasn't with you.
And then he clicked into gear.
So it's great. Great to see, and the referee, first time, I don't know who the referee was, I can't remember his name, but certainly is his first game, and he picked it up and gave him a red card.
He picked it up very well, I was really glad to see that, because it was a well-deserved fine and foul, and I think it's indicative of what's kind of going on with football at the moment, and we were seeing a lot of handballs, we're seeing a lot of rough play. Is it getting out of hand?
Just normal football, and that part and parcel of it. These players know what they're doing, and if they... Mm. if they get caught, they suffer the fine and suffer the consequences.
Suffer the consequences, yeah.
He's no Vinnie Jones. Let's get it right.
And are we thankful for that or not?
Yes, we are thankful for that. Next week, we've got Wellington Phoenix versus Melbourne Victory, Adelaide versus the Jets on Friday night, Paddy, so you might have a few goals to watch on Friday.
I'll be out on Friday being very popular. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
He's taken that to heart now, Amos. He's going to get a life on
Sydney
Friday.
Sydney FC probably get beaten again by the Fury. Gold Coast versus the Mariners. Perth away at home to Brisbane. The game of the weekend, I guess, is the Central Coast versus Gold Coast in third and fourth position, 24 points. What do you think?
Really think so. I think the Fury game will be the Fury-Sydney.
The blockbuster
Sydney.
Of the round.
For me, that's the big game.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, okay. Whilst I think the Central Coast are a good, solid team, I find them quite boring to watch. And remember I mentioned to you, I said they're the Aston Villa of the A-League. They come out there, they get results, but they're nothing outstanding
to watch. They close down the opposition and they play to their
strengths. Outstanding.
You're talking about Aston Villa, former Celtic manager in that team. Fair point. It's interesting, Fozzie interviewing Laurie McKinnon on SBS.
All know that I love Fozzie.
Now, Fozzie has been giving it to Lozza for 5 years about how crap his team is. Mm. And when he just asked him, had you made any changes from first year to now? Yeah. And the interchange, I mean, Laurie McKinnon should have got stuck into him.
Should have given it back to him. Absolutely.
I mean, that's what we need, a little bit of that. Yeah. I mean,
bit of passion, bit of fire.
But Fozzie also, he kind of wimped out of the questions, given that he's been bagging them for so long. Final thing, we've got W League coming up. Lucy, you'll be calling the games. Sydney versus Central Coast is the decider of the this weekend.
Yes.
Who do you think can
Look, Central Coast are at the top of the table, and I mean Sydney's also right up there in contention as well, so I think it's going to be a tough game. And you know, if the Central Coast females team are anything like the men's team, then they're going to go out there and they're going to work hard, but they're going to play some boring football. So you know, I think the Central Coast will take it out. I will have to say that they'll be the ones that will win it, yes.
And in the fight for Brisbane, obviously, are comfortably in the four. The other spot is the Melbourne Victory away to Perth. Perth beat Brisbane last weekend.
Yes.
If Perth win, which I think they will, with Cody Gill, Devanna, McCullum, so I think the Victory go down, and Canberra will pump Adelaide 1-0.
Well, they should, because we've got a 7th place Adelaide team playing Canberra United, who are the 5th. I mean, there's not that much of a difference between the two, but if statistics show, then Canberra United are in with a chance. So fingers crossed that they can come away with it. Canberra will make the four,
do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. And I think they deserve it, particularly with a rough start to the season. I mean, you've got to take into account that Ray Junin, new coach, came in and there was a lot of player changes and things like that. So,
your advice, Lucy, and I think it's advice I'm hearing, I'm going to put a lot of money on Canberra.
You're going to put a lot of money on Canberra. Well, if you lose your house and Amy, which is Paddy's partner, if you're listening, well, then I feel for you. I do.
She's busy writing emails demanding I be on the show. Clearly. Can't hear this at all. Amy, I'm putting the house on it again.
Yeah, you do need one. I've never had anybody write in, Paddy, and say, no. About me, Paddy. I was going to say, about me. But there you go. All right, so this week we've got more football, more World Cup, Asian Champions League. That's more than you can possibly want to keep you going. And good luck to your team, wherever they are. And if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.